Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Howdy all you listeners from the Gulf to Canada and the Atlantic to the Pacific and around the globe. Thanks for tuning in. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio, your hayseed from Wyoming, bringing you a whole gob of news and thinking stuff that other news media just doesn't. And all in the context of rancher common sense. You know, water flows downhill and 2 + 2 = 4. Big show. Some really interesting stuff for you today. Number one, we're going to talk about the history of mind control. I actually did a big show on this several years ago. We'll talk more about that during the presentation. And then I'm going to bring you the rest of the story, where this mind control thing is going. Some dots you will not be able to refute. Then we're going to spend a little time talking about, gag me, Hunter Biden. Crackhead, pervert, thief, swindler, and non-patriot, I'll be nice. Because it's way more than his story. It's really the story of the man who has at least the figurehead, President Cadaver, in terms of what we are doing with China and Russia and other countries. I don't think you've actually had it put together in this context before, the whole picture, but I think you'll understand what's going on when I get done. And then we're going to go into the next phase of getting organized, putting together your band of freedom lovers, getting them organized, picking a course of action, which is today's presentation, and implementing it. And next week, I'm going to have the next phase of getting your band of American patriots in action, moving, and making a difference. Then we're going to have our rat-a-tat-tat. And if we have enough time, oh, a little bit on what the other side is doing to try and do election fraud in advance this year. So, let's get started. Mind control. Yes, it's also known as brainwashing, or menticide, or coercive persuasion, thought control, thought reform, re-education. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into it. It originally came from the Chinese term, wash brain. Gee, thank you, China. You know, they're always looking out for us, aren't they? And was originally used to kind of describe the coercive persuasion. You know, they're very persuasive over there in China. They either kill you, or they throw you in a gulag, or they ship you off for forced labor. And eventually, as they say in Cool Hand Luke, you get your mind right. Well, listen, it's evolved since then. I don't know if you know, but in the late 1940s, early 1950s, Russia and America actually collaborated on mind control. That was, of course, before we had our falling out and the depths of the Cold War going into the 60s. If you've ever seen the movie The Manchurian Candidate, the head brainwasher of this assassin slash candidate that's been programmed to bring America down is a Dr. Yen Lo. He's a real person. And he's part of what's called the Pavlov Institute. You know the guy Ivan Pavlov, Pavlovian response? You know how you train animals? Yeah, it's all kind of tied in. In other words, folks, your mind to these folks is the same as a dog's mind to these folks. Don't worry, you'll understand what I'm talking about as we get further in the show. There's a subgenre to mind control that's evolved particularly over the last 10 to 15 years. It's called corporate mind control. That's where society is run by one or more business corporations, and they dominate society. They use advertising. They use mass media. They use messaging and control and symbolism. Remember my historical story from the last 2 weeks? To control a population's thoughts and feelings and to induce kind of, oh, should we say, mass approval or mass disapproval or, in the case of COVID, mass psychosis. There's a guy by the name of Philip Zimbardo, famous sociologist, psychologist. He defined mind control, I quote, The process by which individual or collective freedom of choice and action is compromised by agents or agencies that modify or distort perception, motivation, effect, cognition, or behavioral outcomes. And any human being is susceptible to such manipulation. Unquote. Think about that for just a moment. That, folks, is kind of what mind control is all about. But it's advanced. Oh, yes, it's really advanced. Wait till you hear. So there's an American Psychological Association task force. In 1983, there's a guy by the name of Singer. He chaired this task force. And basically, this was a study of how to indoctrinate, get people into, or get people out of cults through large group awareness trainings. And they explored, you know, the ethical ramifications of deceptive and indirect techniques of persuasion and control. Oh, yeah, you bet they did. And you know what? It's being manifested right now in your household today. Wait till we get there. Starting in the 1950s, the United States Central Intelligence Agency, here we are again, the CIA, and the United States Department of Defense, you know, DARPA, you'll hear that name again here in the next few minutes. They had a project called Project MK Ultra. I go into great detail in my History of Mind Control several years ago. It's fascinating. Click on the tab to go to the archives, and those history shows are right there. You can click on them, listen to your heart's content. So Project MK Ultra was about stimulating responses in humans, changing their minds, changing their behavioral patterns, changing their thought processes using electroshock, certain frequency waves, high doses of LSD, and other drugs. To this day, they really don't know what all the results were of all the people, wittingly or unwittingly, that were involved in this little experiment, so to speak. The director of all these experiments was his name was Sidney Gottlieb, and they were, I quote from their report, able to, quote, blast away the existing mind of a human being using torture techniques, reprogramming in terms of finding a way to insert a new mind into that resulting void, unquote. U.S. military trainers who came to Guantanamo Bay, this is in the early 2000s, their interrogations were based on MK Ultra doctrine. There's a guy by the name of Joost Merlou, M-E-E-R-L-O-O. He's a Dutch psychiatrist. He's a huge proponent and an early proponent of brainwashing. Menticide happens to be a term of art, if you will. I mean, I'm kind of stretching a little bit here. A term of art that was coined by this guy, and it means, quote, the killing of the mind, unquote. He got his experiences from the Germans during World War II and their manipulations of human psychosis in terms of turning the German population against the Jews, etc. He was involved in the interrogation of Nazi war criminals. He later immigrated to the United States and taught at Columbia University. Who else went to Columbia? Oh, yeah. Barack Obama. Yeah, we're going to get to him. You'll see. His best-selling book, it was in 1956, if you want to look it up, is called The Rape of the Mind. Let me give you one tiny quote. The modern techniques of brainwashing and menticide, those perversions of psychology, can bring almost any man into submission and surrender. Many of the victims of thought control, brainwashing, and menticide that we have talked about were strong men whose minds and wills were broken and degraded. Huh. Totalitarians will use their knowledge for the mind, or of the mind, for vicious and unscrupulous purposes. Our democratic society can and must use its knowledge to help man to grow, to guard his freedom, and to understand himself. There's a Russian historian. His name is Daniel Romanovsky. He interviewed a bunch of survivors and eyewitnesses to the Nazi brainwashing of the people of Belarus. Gee, who's in the news right now? Oh, yeah, that's right, Belarus. By the occupying Germans in the Second World War. And it took place, he noted, through mass propaganda in an intense re-education, particularly in the schools. Does this all tie into kind of current events and all the things that are happening with your kids and your grandkids? Oh, you bet it does. You bet it does. The left does nothing without a plan, folks. They are long ball players, as you will really see as we go into the rest of the story. Then we have what's called voice-to-skull technology. This is fascinating. This is kind of the precursor of where we are today. So voice-to-skull technology, and it was developed, by the way, by DARPA through criminal experiments that were conducted by the CIA and DARPA and the military under the guise of national security, but it's basically using microwave technology, radio frequency technology, to beam voice messages directly to a person's mind, bypassing the person's eardrums. So there's a guy who worked for DARPA. His name, well, he's an insider. We'll just leave it at that. He warns that the new 5G technology that's being rolled out across the country is both lethal and contained mind control elements that have evolved from the voice-to-skull technology research, and that everybody should be very alarmed. I'm going to point you to something if you want to do some research. I'm going to point you to United States Patent 6,017,302LOOS, January 25th, 2000. It is the subliminal acoustic manipulation of nervous systems. Let me just give you like a little appetizer, if you will. So in human subjects, folks, there's senses. And what these microwaves and what these radio frequencies and other frequencies do is they tune up, tune in, tune out, stimulate all these sensory resonances, as they call it. And they can be excited, these sensory resonances, by subliminal, doesn't have to be overt, atmospheric acoustic pulses that are tuned to the resonance frequency, generally 0.5 megahertz up to 2.5 megahertz, starts different reactions, different perceptions, different outcomes in subjects like humans that it's directed to. That these frequencies, subliminal frequencies, can cause relaxation, drowsiness, sexual excitement, certain types of acts, behaviors, and feelings, certain types of emotions. But the intensity must lie in a deeply subliminal range. All that's needed, folks, to use to do this is not 5G towers. I mean, that's like icing on the cake for people who want to get this done. All they need is a portable, battery-powered source of weak sub-audio acoustic radiation. That is all that's needed. By the way, the inventor, his name is Hendrikus G. Luce. That's right, the patent I gave you. And you should really read that patent. Let me give you one little clip. The 0.5 megahertz resonance is characterized by ptosis of the eyelids, relaxation, drowsiness, a tonic smile, tenseness, or sexual excitement, depending upon the precise acoustic frequency near 0.5 megahertz that is used. The observable effects of 2.5 megahertz include a slowing of certain cortical functions, sleepiness, and after long exposure, dizziness and disorientation. Certain law enforcement agencies are actually using it. Quote, the embodiment suitable for law enforcement operations in which a subject's nervous system is manipulated from a considerable distance as in a standoff situation. Subliminal sub-audio acoustic pulses at the subject's location may then be induced by acoustic waves. And guess what? The guy gives up. The guy goes to sleep. The guy basically loses himself to the subliminal frequencies that are being beamed into his mind. The next step in that old voice-to-skull technology, but many, many, many times advanced. By the way, one of the things which we will find is that these frequencies, these directing beams of energy, this second layer of voice-to-skull technology can be embedded in other audio signals. In other words, it doesn't have to function on its own. It can be a subliminal part of a whole different frequency range. You know, like radio, like music, like TV. Oh, yes. And when I come back, the rest of this incredible story. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal back on the Right Side Radio, and I'm going to bring you the rest of the story. You know, we've talked just a little bit, very superficially, about the history of brain control. Well, let me tell you, folks, this is not in a galaxy far, far away or in a time long, long ago. We're not talking about dilithium crystals. We're talking about your head and what their plans are for it. In 2013, Barack Obama, he initiated the Brain Initiative. And in 2016, and by the way, with his usual platitudes, you know, it's great for humanity and it's great for this and it's great for that, and it's great for the economy. But the bottom line is, in 2016, just weeks after Donald Trump was elected, he got passed through Congress what was called the American Cure Act, $6.8 billion. And it was all about this brain initiative of his. And the bill itself, it's in concert with the NIH. Oh, and we can trust them. And it's in concert with DARPA. Oh, well, we know about them. And it's in concert with, you know, the Global Society of Scientists. Oh, great. The whole point of this bill was to fund research for artificial intelligence and introduction into human beings. That was the bottom line of this bill. And part of this bill funded a kind of research tank called Brain 2025. All this stuff, by the way, will be on the website for you. I'll tell you about it here at the end. So the Brain 2025, their goals, their objectives, their research was basically, and I'm not going to give you all the scientific nonsense. You can read about this in depth. But they're talking about advancing nonlinear brain functions where human intuition fails. You know, like if you're a bitter clinger, you know, you have the wrong intuitions, just as an example. They talk about nanoscience. Oh, well, we'll see how that ties in. They talk about, quote, to enable the immense potential of circuit manipulation. They're talking about your brain, folks. They're talking about your brain. And the reconstruction of neural circuits at all scales. Oh, wow, that sounds like fun. Sign me up. Let me give you some dots. We know voice-to-skull technology exists, has been used successfully. We know that it changes memory. People will react to commands. Their emotions can be manipulated. Their thoughts can be manipulated. We know that micro and radio waves can do this manipulation. We know that one of the best conductors of micro and radio waves and frequencies is graphene oxide. These are all absolute facts. These are dots I'm giving you. It's up to you to connect them. We know that these waves, these 0.5 and 2.5 megahertz waves, can be inserted subliminally in other frequencies. You know, TV, radio, whatever. We know that there is a huge 5G circuit going up, which allows for the manipulation and the transmission of all sorts of frequencies at one time. Both ground and satellite is under construction right now. We know that the government lied to us about COVID and about the vaccines, which are not vaccines. They're really gene therapy drugs. They told us they were safe and effective. We've undergone 2 years of intensive media government hype to get jabbed. Now they're on the fourth booster. We were told that it would work when they knew that it wouldn't. Go back to the original clinical studies. We know that nanoparticles are in the jab. I have all these articles on the website. These are top-notch scientists from around the world. And those nanoparticles include graphene oxide, that superconductor material of frequencies, along with nanosteel particles and nanocopper particles, also great conductors. I will tell you how to get much more information and do research here at the conclusion. Think about voice-to-skull technology. We know, dot number one, that it works. Okay, microwave and frequency can change and institute voices in people's heads. Think about memory, commands, emotions, and how they can be manipulated by these certain frequencies. Now, think about what Olaf, the chairman of Bayer, said. I brought you that a week or two ago. 95% of the human population would have said no if they thought the vaccines were what they really were, a gene therapy drug. Now, we're not done. We got more infomercial for you. Go to the archives, type in vaccine, type in jab, type in ingredients. You can read this stuff for yourself, the videos, newspaper articles, the whole nine yards. The ingredients in the jab is graphene oxide. It's nanoparticles of steel and copper. These are highly conductive. Go to my historical story on the manipulation of weather and what frequencies can do to nanoparticles which have been dropped into the atmosphere in jet contrails. See what frequencies do to those nanoparticles just drifting around out in the air. We know that we were told that these were vaccines and they're not. And we know that we were told that they didn't have any nanoparticles, but they do. And we were also told that they were going to stay right at the injection site, not travel around your body, and that they certainly couldn't penetrate the blood-brain barrier. However, they do, and nanoparticles are intended to penetrate the blood-brain barrier. Those are your dots. I want you to connect them. I want you to think about what I'm telling you. This is beyond critical. There's a reason for everything. None of this is a coincidence. We're going to go to a mind boggler. You know, Hunter Biden gag me. Look, we all know what he is. But what's really important about what he and Papa Biden, also known as Cadaver, the illegitimate president of the United States, what's really important is how this is affecting American national security relative to China, to Russia, to the Russia-Ukraine deal. On April 12, 2019, Hunter Biden took his laptop to a computer repair shop in Wilmington, Delaware. It took 3 years for the New York Times to finally admit on March 17th, that's a week ago, folks, that Biden's laptop and its contents were real. Even though the original story came out on October 14th in the New York Post, detailed emails from his laptop, and they showed that presidential candidate Joe Biden, his brother James, and son scumbag Hunter were all deeply entangled in various overseas business ventures, including Qatar, not our friend, Ukraine, doubtful is our friend, Russia, absolutely not our friend, and China, our mortal enemy. You know, basically what this calls into question is Joe Biden's fitness for office, but more than that, his ability to direct our foreign policy, particularly in relation to the Ukraine-Russia conflict. And think about how this was censored, okay? I've brought you the history of censorship. I've brought you all sorts of examples. This is a perfect one. I've brought you examples of election meddling and election interference. Perfect example. Beginning immediately after that story broke, prior to the 2020 election, Twitter knocked the Post, the New York Post, off of its stool. Then they suspended the Post's account for running the story. Facebook suspended the account, saying it would limit distribution on the story on its platform while it fact-checked the story. By the way, that fact-check never came. CNN, oh yes, CNN. The political director there, at that time David Chalian, he issued internal orders that CNN reporters not cover the story. Quote, obviously we're not going with the New York Post story right now on Hunter Biden. We'll just continue to report on out this very stuff that the president was impeached over. PBS wrote on Twitter, quote, we don't want to waste our time on stories that are not really stories, and we don't want to waste our listener and readers' times on stories that are just pure distractions, unquote. So, throughout the 2020 campaign, Joe Biden, President Cadaver, repeatedly denies any knowledge of Hunter Biden's overseas business, any involvement in that business. The laptop was Russian disinformation. Quote, I have never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. The laptop stories are just a Russian plant, unquote. All of which involved Joe Biden, much of which involved Joe Biden's brother, all of which involved Hunter. The now defunct Chinese conglomerate CEFC China Energy paid him $6 million for consulting and legal fees. It was owned by a Chinese billionaire, by the way, Yi Jianmang, who's mysteriously disappeared. Gee, what happened there? Then there's a gal by the name of Bao Jiaqi. Quote, nobody will care the whereabouts of nobody's money. Huh. Then CEFC China Energy paid Hunter another million to find a U.S.-based attorney for Patrick Ho, another Ye associate, you know, the head cheese, whom Biden later called the, quote, spy chief of China, unquote. Biden got $3.5 million in a wire transfer from Elena Batarina, who's the widow of Russian oligarch Yuri Lozkov. He's the former mayor of Moscow. Nobody's been able to figure out what those payments are for yet. And I can go on and on and on. This is just some samples. You know, one of the most damning emails was a guy who was under investigation by the prosecutor of Ukraine at that time, a guy by the name of Shokin. And the guy who was at Burisma, right, where Hunter Biden was sitting on the board getting hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, knowing nothing about the industry, asked Hunter to get rid of this prosecutor. 3 weeks later, Joe Biden pulled his infamous, you've seen the video, if you don't get rid of the prosecutor, you're not getting the billion-dollar deal. The biggest thing about this, folks, is that with all this going on, number one, why suddenly is all the left-wing media, which damped this down for the election, suddenly admitting that it occurs and running stories on it? What do you think that portends for Joe Biden's future and whatever plans the Democratic Marxists have for the presidency? You ought to think about that just a bit. The second thing is, this brings home to roost just how corrupt, how unbelievable the huge majority of our news sources are. They are completely corrupted. Completely corrupted. Corporate media cannot be trusted. It also brings to mind exactly how a man, never mind the circumstances under which he gained, quote-unquote, the presidency, actually Obama gained the presidency behind Gaddafi, how does this guy look in the camera and lie to the American people? And what else is he lying about? What can he be believed about? What can the government be believed about? And finally, it calls into question, you know, at the time that this all came out, there were 51 high mucky mucks in intelligence. You know, all those really great names that make you gag. Brennan and Clapper. Oh, God. I don't know why they haven't been indicted. And they all signed a letter saying, this laptop story is nonsense. It's absolute BS. In fact, their letter came out October 19th, 5 days after the New York Post story. And this is all Russian disinformation. Russia, Russia, Russia. You think that made Putin happy, by the way? And do you know that to this day, even now with this coming out in such liberal bastions as the New York Times, suddenly, mysteriously, but not so much, they're not retracting that letter. This is still Russia, 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 folks. Yeah, and you wonder why we're on the verge of a World War III, potential nuclear confrontation. Look no further than the greed for power and money of these democratic Marxists and globalists. You need to look no further. And these intelligence, quote-unquote, agencies, how can we trust their claims on Ukraine, on our foreign policy, on our domestic affairs, or in general? Obviously, we can't. What's happening here is readily apparent to everybody else in the world. In a Czech Republic newspaper, just about a week ago, it's been translated to English, and it was the newspaper in Prague. Let me read this to you. Quote, the danger to America is not Joe Biden, but a citizenry capable of entrusting a man like him with a presidency. It will be far easier to limit and undo the follies of a Biden presidency than to restore the necessary common sense and good judgment to a depraved electorate willing to have such a man for their president. The problem is much deeper and far more serious than Mr. Biden, who is a mere symptom of what ails America. Blaming the Prince of Fools should not blind anyone to the vast confederacy of fools that made him their prince. The Republic can survive a Biden who is, after all, merely a fool. It is less likely to survive a multitude of fools, such as those who made him their president. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio, and we're going to be right back at you with the next segment and rat-a-tat-tat and how to get organized. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Welcome back. Let's finish this up. Let's go. You know, it's kind of embarrassing when a Czech newspaper kind of nails it on the button, isn't it? It certainly is. Well, let's do something about it. Last week, and if you missed last week's show, go to the Take Action tab on onTheRightSideRadio.com, and on that page is an outline of how to organize your fellow band of freedom fighters, freedom lovers, freedom preservers. And for those of you who are already in the throes of getting organized, remember, everybody, there is not a lot of time here. 2022, those elections are just months away, and I'm telling you, they are critical. So, for those of you who are organized, or those of you who are in the process of or going to be organized, look, focus on the time-sensitive matters, which is always your kids and school, and the upcoming elections. Each person who was voted in or appointed as a leader of one of the subgroups on the outline last week, okay, prepare a simple set of goals, objectives, and timeline for what your little subgroup needs to get done on a priority basis. The coordinator, they need to contact other groups in the area. You need to get national help. There's a lot of outfits out there that can help you. The RNC, True the Vote, or similar outfits. I mean, you can duck them, go right up. The speaker, the public face of the group. You need to get out press releases. Maybe you can get some op-eds done in the local paper. Maybe you can get an interview on a local radio or TV station. Set up the social media page for the group. There's a number of you that need to coordinate. Let me go into that in just a moment. Financial, the financial person. Set up the accounts for the group. Get your nonprofit status going. Get your fundraising going. Find out how it's done. Do some research. Tech and internet person. Set up the web page so you can start taking donations. Check your local and state laws before you do anything, obviously, because each state, each locality is a little bit different. Set up the web page so that membership is easy for people, although you need a way to vet them. Your government and liaison person. You're really in charge of elections. Big job, particularly this year. You need to put together a schedule of all the elections this year and next for the group. You need to come up with a plan to start stimulating and being proactive and being successful in achieving voter registration. Think about some cool places to do it, like gas stations. You don't think people will register to vote when they're pumping $5 a gallon gas in their car? Or supermarkets. You think people are happy when they're coming out of supermarkets right now with food up 20%? Great places to get people to register to vote. Your government and liaison elections officer, you need to coordinate with the public person, your speaker, and your web person. Okay? You should be promoting voter registration at every level of this organization. And you need to get info to give out to the group so that they can more widely disperse it on how to be boots on the ground in the upcoming elections. A poll watcher, or a ballot counter, an election worker, a fraud watcher. This is all critical. Think about the lessons we learned in Virginia getting Youngkin elected. Really important. And there's a time limit on some of this stuff. You need to get in motion now. If you wait too long, you won't be able to work as a poll watcher or as an election worker. The training and education person. You need to educate the group on how to sell voter registration. You need to educate the group on how to raise money. What are the marketing catchwords? And you need to keep a close eye on all events at your local schools, curriculum, lessons, any rumors or stories, any shenanigans by the teachers union if they're active in your area, and of course, attendance at the school board meetings. One of the things I want to emphasize to all of you, even though you have your specific responsibilities in your subgroup, you're a team. When, for instance, there's a school board meeting coming up that the training and education person brings to your attention, everybody has to go to that. In other words, everybody is supporting everybody else. And it's up to each of the leaders of the subcommittees to keep the group informed and let them know when they need group help for an event or circumstance. Next week, we're going to go over the next level of organization, and that is going to be implementation. So let's gear up, folks. We got a country to save. Now let's do some rat-a-tat-tat. Oh, boy. Want to read about these in depth? Click the rat-a-tat-tat tab right on the homepage on therightsideradio.com and read to your heart's content. Let's start off with a fun one, shall we? Kind of fun, anyway. Bloomberg does an editorial. Here's what Bloomberg, the billionaire globalist, says you need to do to cope with inflation if you're making less than $300,000 a year. Now listen carefully, because this will save your butt. Number one, don't drive. Take the bus. Number two, don't buy things in bulk. Wow. Number three, you'll love this. Try lentils instead of meat. And number four, I'm not kidding you, they actually wrote this. Nobody said this would be fun. Oh, okay, well, this is really helpful. I feel much better about things. Bring on that hyperinflation. We're ready. There were some great kind of counter tweets to this unbelievably stupid op-ed by Bloomberg. Of course, you know, what would you expect from the anti-gunner? Here's one. I love it. Here's four better things. Learn to pole dance. Buy an RV and get cooking. Try candles instead of electricity. And does mom really need a funeral? Okay, you know, unfortunately, that's the most fun of the rat-a-tat-tat today. The next item. I've told you about this website, shadowstats.com, Shadow Government Statistics. These are the real numbers before the government start playing all its games to make their numbers look better. And in the case of inflation, to keep the rates of inflation down on all those things they have to write checks for, like Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, to keep them down, you know? Because all that money you pay the government, you really don't deserve it back, folks. So on shadowstats.com, I went and looked at it this week. Here's some real stats for you. This will, I'm sure, just make your day. So on GDP annual growth, the government's been jumping up and down. Oh, we got 6.7% growth. Well, I've brought you that story. That was nonsense. But it's worse than that. On Shadow Stats, real GDP is approximately minus 3%. How about unemployment? The government's been jumping up and down, you know, cadavers out there saying this is the most jobs in all time, you know, just like this was the fairest election in the universe since the inception of the caveman. Well, he's telling us that we have 3.7% unemployment. Shadowstats.com, the real numbers, 24.6% real unemployment in this country. Oh, yeah, this economy's just doing terrific, terrific. Then we have alternate inflation charts. Okay, consumer inflation. Now, you know, the government has admitted that they're at 8% annual inflation. Prices increased basically 7.9% from last February to the February just passed. The real rate of inflation, folks, however, is just under 17%. I want you to think about the dollars you have in a bank account and the fact that next year that same dollar is going to be worth 83 cents and then compounding from there. Shadow Stats doesn't lie. It is a great site. You ought to visit it once a week. It'll keep you in the real know, not the government spin know, or the government spin not know. Republican legislatures in New Hampshire, after all the hocus pocus, don't get early treatment, ivermectin is horseworms, blah, 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 from the CDC and the NIH, who of course are so concerned about your health. The Republican legislatures in New Hampshire voted to make ivermectin legal in New Hampshire and to stop any screwing with pharmacists or doctors who prescribe it. So good for New Hampshire. First state in the union, hopefully other states will follow their lead. Pennsylvania. Last week I told you about voter fraud. I gave you a whole bunch of instances. You know, all those things that we really shouldn't believe because it's all the big lie. It's all a big lie. Well, there's still questions that are lingering around Pennsylvania's 2020 election results. Secretary of State Kathy Buchvar, who, you know, big Dem, she certified the vote on November 24th, 2020. But the state, you'll love this, had 784,752 more ballots than voters, which was 10 times Biden's so-called margin of victory of 80,000 give or take votes. Pennsylvania law, by the way, specifically says that when ballots exceed the total number of persons who voted, quote, such excess shall be deemed a discrepancy and a palpable error, and shall be investigated by the return board, and no vote shall be recorded from such district until such investigation shall be had, unquote. All right, then we have, oh, yes, our friend, who's just totally so for the American people, you know, you poor morons that he knows far better than, and that he tells whatever Barry tells him to tell to you. Okay, Joe Biden, he called for Americans to return to the office, you know, in his State of the Union speech, based on the new science, of course, the new science. It just so happens that there's a huge number of Democratic congressional and senatorial offices that haven't reopened. They're still telecommuting. And one of them has to be Chucky Schumer's, this Democratic Senate leader. It's just great. You're going to love this. The office of Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. She's a Democrat from Nevada who needs to go, you folks in Nevada. She has a really tough re-election coming up. Her office is closed. The sign on the door says, cleaning not required. It's your Senate at work, folks. It's terrific. Senator Bernie Sanders. Oh, what a peach he is. He chairs the budget committee, the Senate Budget Committee. His office is still closed, you folks in Vermont. And the sign on his door says the closure was part of an effort to prevent the spread of germs and bacteria, unquote. I mean, you can't make this up. And then, President Cadaver again, you know, he's like the gift that gives on giving. He declares a new world order is on the horizon. Gee, did he, like, miss his cue off? Did his handlers not handle him? I mean, what's he giving away these trade secrets for, right? Last Monday, a week ago Monday, he's talking to the Business Roundtable's CEO quarterly meeting in D.C. Let me give you the quote. Quote, I think this presents us with some significant opportunities to make some real changes. He's talking about the COVID mess. You know, we're at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Oh, really, Joe? Wow, nothing gets by you. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we've established a liberal world order, and that hasn't happened in a long time. A lot of people dying, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be I'm just quoting him, folks. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. And we've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. Okay. I guess maybe starting with Ukraine, eh? I think what you folks heard, and by the way, I'm not down on anybody who's had a jab, or two, or three, or, heaven forbid, four. You had your reasons, you drank the Kool-Aid, whatever your motivations were, family, friends, job, I don't know. But you need to know what's going on with these jabs. The information I bring you is painful, but it is information that you can research. In fact, on the website this week, on therightsideradio.com, upper right-hand corner, there is a click for mind control. You can read the articles that I've researched. And by the way, there are zillions of them out there. I suggest you do lots of research on your own. There's also a link there to all the former shows, articles, videos from world experts on what's in these jabs. And you can tie it all together. Knowledge is power, folks. There are things you can do to help yourself, including making decisions one way or the other about all the never-ending boosters they're going to have come your way. And I think this is a perfect founder's quote for this show. This is Benjamin Franklin. If everyone is thinking alike, then no one is thinking. Oh, how true is that? And we're at the end of time here. So repeat after me every day to the mirror with conviction or with your family. I will muster. I will stand. I will not comply. I will never give in. I will never stop fighting. I will join with those in these United States and across the globe who love freedom as I do, and we will win. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. We'll talk at you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.